We begin the current daven, Sechtes Gittin Dav Chav Ches. We begin 9 lines down from the top of the Yemen, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing in the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing someone who's bringing a get, and moreover relying on the Chazakah. Like the previous Mishnah spoke about someone that was bringing the get and he dropped it, and depending on how quickly he found it, if we say that it's a Chazakah, that it's that get that he had lost, or do we assume that maybe it was from someone else with the same name? Our Mishnah continues on the theme and says as follows. Hamevi get, if someone is bringing the get, he's a shliach from bringing from the husband to divorce the wife. Now the agent, when he left that husband, he, let's say, quickly wanted to get this out to the woman because he was either elderly or he was ill. You could still give it with the assumption that that man is still alive. And we don't have to be concerned that maybe he died, and if he died, then you can't be anymore the agent of a dead person to deliver his get to divorce his wife. Which, now the reason for this halacha is based on, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Chulnaf Yerem Beis, that what's known as, which is a biblical halacha, of Hemet Dabar Al Chazkasa. The chazak is, the halacha is based on this presumptive state, which it was up until now. Since up until now the chazakah was that the person was alive when he sent you, even though he's elderly or he's ill, we retain that chazakah, and he could go ahead and deliver it without any qualms to the woman, and she'll be divorced, and he doesn't have to think, oh, maybe he's dead, and really she's not divorced. Similarly, a second halacha. Bas Yisrael hanesu l'kayin. If you have a daughter of a non-kayin who's married to a kayin, now, which means to say that she could eat truma because she's the wife of a kayin, but obviously if he's dead and she has no children from him, she wouldn't be able to eat truma. Now, her husband goes overseas. The halach is, she could continue eating truma. Again, based on the chazakah that up until now, we don't have any reason to assume or to know that he's dead. So, although he might be dead, and you might, let's say, have a suffolk deraisa, eating truma for a non-kayin, which she would be if her husband's dead, is forbidden on the penalty of death. But again, the chazakah tells us that what we knew up until now is still the same, and therefore she could continue eating truma. So, to a third halacha. If someone is overseas and did a sin in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, so he has to bring a karma chatas, but he lives very far. So he sends a shliach, an agent, here, take this animal and bring it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. The halach is, makriven oisa b'cheske shukayim. The carbon could be sacrificed in the on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, again, with the assumption that he's still alive, and we don't have to be concerned that maybe this person who sinned died, which the halacha is a chata shemesu ba'alao, karma chatas, that the person who sinned before it was brought, the halacha is that the karma chatas has to die, and it's not allowed to be brought. So it's the same idea, the chazaka tells us that he's still alive, and therefore the carbon can be brought in the base of Mikdash. Now, Amar Ravi qualifies the first of these three similar halachas mentioned in the Mishnah. He says, lo yishanu, we didn't learn the Mishnah that you could still deliver the get b'chazaka that he's still alive. That was El Azakan when we said, even though that you left the man that wants to divorce his wife was an elderly man, that's only Shlohigia Ligvuris. That's only if he didn't reach the age of Gvuris, which is the age of 80, which is based on the Pasuk in Tehillim Perek Tzadi. It says, Ligvuris Shmainim Shana, as long as he didn't reach the age of 80. Or V'chayla, or when the Mishnah mentions that he left the husband when he was ill, is specifically an ill person, but not what's called a Geisis, who's in the throes of death. The reason being is shereiv chaylim l'chaim, because the majority of ill people they survive and they continue living. Avo zaken shegiya legvura is but a man that already reached age 80 or of a geisis or if he's in the throes of death shereiv geisin lamisa, where the majority of people in the throes of death do die, then lie. So either one, if he's elderly over the age of 80 or if he was ill and he was a geisis too, then we didn't say this halacha. Then we have to assume that maybe he died. This that we said, elderly was under 80, and ill was that if he wasn't a geisus. That's Rabbi's qualification of the heter of our Mishnah. On that, Isra Abaya. Abaya asked from the following brisa. The brisa says, Hamevi get v'hinichi zaken. If someone is an agent delivering a get, and the husband that he left, who was sent him on this mission, was an elderly person. Says the brisa, Philip ben Meyeshana, even if he's 100 years old, you could still give it to the woman with the assumption that he's still alive, because that's what the Chazaka tells us. We go based on whatever the knowledge was. Up until now, we don't assume anything changed until we know otherwise. So, says Abaya, you qualified the halacha of a Mishnah up until age 80. Here's a brice that says even up until age 100, the Chazaka continues. So, Gemara says, to Yufta, this is a refutation, obviously, of Rava's interpretation. Or the Gemara says, actually, no, V'Baisim, if you want, you could say it doesn't refute Rava. Because Kivan de Iflig, in the case of the Braisa, since this person was so far divided, so far different than regular people, because he's lived to such an old age of 100, then we say Iflig. Then we say that he's very much different than other people. And therefore, although generally regular people, when they reach age 80, 81, or a little bit more than that, up until age 90, we do assume that any day he's going to die. In other words, at least we can't take for granted a chazaka that you could just deliberately get to his wife. But someone that lived till age 100, then we already assume that maybe he's not going to die so fast because we see he's living to such an old age. And actually there maybe the Braisa would say that then you could give it Bechesk Shukayim only because he actually overlived more than what most people do. Meaning between 80 and 90, then any day we could assume that he's going to die. But once you pass 90, then who knows, you might live till 120. And therefore, maybe only over there did the Braisa say you could deliver it Bechesk Shukayim. Now the Gemara tells us that Ramile Abaya Rabba. Abaya posed to Rabba the following contradiction. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Hamevi Get, the halacha that we're discussing, if someone brings a get, now he left the husband as he was being sent out to dispatch this get. He was either elderly or he was ill. So the Mishnah said, so he gives it to her with the chazaka that he's still alive. Now, on that asks Abai to Rabba Verminu, but there's a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa says a different halacha, but it seemingly contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah. If a husband tells his wife, Hare Zegitich, this get I'm giving you is your get, a moment before he dies, meaning a reference to himself, that's when the get takes effect. In other words, you can't give a get lachar misa. She can't be divorced once he's dead. Then he's dead, he can't divorce. But he doesn't want to divorce her right now, saying, I don't want you to have to, let's say, come on to Yibum, which we don't have any children, and my brother is going to have to do Yibum with you. I don't want you to put you through that situation, but I want to stay married with you. 1 minute before I die, that's when the get should take effect. Says the Braisa, so Asura, now and the case specific over there is that his wife is a Bas Yisrael, meaning she's not the daughter of a Kohen, but he, the husband, is a Kohen. So old throughout the marriage, an Eishes Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. Says the Braisa, now she's forbidden Le'echo B'Truma Meyad. Immediately, from that moment on, she's not allowed to eat Truma anymore. Why? Because every moment we're concerned that maybe right now he's going to die. Now that makes it within the Sha'achas Kodim Misasa that really she's really divorced now. Because a Sha'achas before, if she's eating right now and he dies now, so then that means that eating what she ate a moment before was already as a divorced woman. And the divorced woman who's a Bas Yisrael without any children from the Kayin cannot continue eating Truma. So therefore the Braisa says that from now on she can't eat Truma anymore because this might be the Sha'achas Koidim L'Misasa. So asks Abai to Rabba, what we see from this Braisa is that we are concerned for death. He's not an old person, he's not ill. Our Mishnah made it sound like we're not concerned for death. You could go ahead and deliver the get. Yet over here in the Braisa, seemingly we're concerned for death. So that's a contradiction. So Amalei, so Rabba answered to Abaya, he said, Truma Agitin Karamis? What are you opposing a contradiction from our Mishnah that's Toma Gittin to that Braisa that's Toma Truma? Truma Efsher, by Truma, it's feasible for the woman to survive without eating Truma. She could eat Chulin, unconsecrated produce. So you're right, over there we have to be concerned that maybe he's going to die. And then she would have been eating Truma as a Zar, so we don't allow it. But Get, Loi Efsher, by Get, it's not feasible to live our lives being concerned that maybe the husband that sent you to deliver the get already died, because if you're going to be concerned, you're never going to be able to have, which much of our Masechta already was about that, for a husband to send the get to his wife. Now, although, fine, you can go ahead and not allow shlichus anymore by getting, but that a lot of women are going to end up bagunas like that because the husband's not interested in coming down. I'll send an agent from Medina Siam to Eretz Yisrael, but if you mean me myself to come down, I'm not. Now, if you're going to tell me, which maybe is a legitimate concern that we could have that concern by Truma because you don't need to eat the Truma, so fine, we should suspect that maybe he's dead and therefore he might die any second. It's a concern, a valid concern, that death could happen any second. Then you're eating it as a Bas Yisrael, which is forbidden, fine. But by Gittin, where it's not possible because you're never going to be able to have Shlichas and we're going to have a Guna, then we're not concerned that maybe he died. So therefore, Rabbi says to Abaya, what's your difficulty? Maybe Truma is different than Gittin. And by Gittin, we're not going to be concerned for death because there's no other way around it. Not because then you're never going to be able to have shlichas. What do you mean? How are you delivering it? Maybe the 3-hour trip you had from the husband's house to where you're delivering it to the woman, maybe he died. Any second could be died. No, then you can't have shlichas. So the Gemara continues and Abaya says, fine. But Verami Truma Truma. So fine, even though there's a difference between Gittin and Truma, and that would answer the question, but there's seemingly a contradiction from that Braisa and our Mishnah in the context of Halachas of Truma itself. Because Tznan, we learned the next case in the Mishnah, there were three cases of Chazakah. The next case says, Bas Yisrael Hanesu L'Kayin, if you have a daughter of a non-Kayin, married to a Kayin, who she could eat Truma because of a marriage to him, and Bahalach Bailam, and then says, yeah, my husband goes overseas, Aicheles B'Truma B'Cheska Shukayim, our Mishnah said, you don't have to be concerned that the husband died. She could continue eating truma based on the chazaka that she always had, that she was allowed to eat truma. On that verminu, that's the contradiction from that braisa that says, Harei zegitich, if the husband tells his wife, this is your get, sha'achas kaidin misasi, a moment before he, meaning the husband, dies, asur lecha b'truma miyad, so immediately she becomes forbidden to eat truma, obviously because we are concerned for death, and both are in the context of lachas of truma. So that's a contradiction. Are we concerned for death regarding Truma, or are we not? So Am Ravada Bereid Rav Yitzchak, Ravada the son of Rav Yitzchak said, the truth is that we're generally not concerned for death, even by Truma. Now, Shani Hasan, the case of the Bryce is different. Why? Shahari Asra Alav, he made her forbidden on him when he's still alive, Sha'achas Koydim Misasa, one moment before he dies. In other words, every single moment, you have to be in doubt. Maybe that's the moment which will end up becoming forbidden. Because you're right, for the future, maybe not. We don't have to assume that he's going to die, but maybe this is the moment before the death. That's something we have to be concerned, because that's something that works in the past. Now, as Rashi points out, this answer is seemingly a little bit contrived, and that's what the Gemara then asks, Maskev Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked, wait a second. You have to come clear on this, that is, if you're not concerned for death, that's how you're answering the question. You're saying, no, we're not concerned for death. And that answers the case of our Mishnah. But you just want to say that the Brice is different because it's not a concern for death. It's what ends up happening when he does die, then that means the moment before you were really a grusha and then you were eating it as a zarp. But that, Rav Papa says, if you're not concerned for death, then what are you talking about? Who says that it ever is going to be a get? Meaning you're saying that inevitably it's going to be that there's going to be one moment, maybe, that she's eating that turns out retroactively she was divorced. You're right, for the future we're not concerned, but it'll be retroactively that then she was divorced. And that, Rav Papa says, who said that there's ever going to be even one moment that she will be, that there will be a get over here? Because truthfully, I could tell you, the ihu ma'isperesha, maybe. In other words, who said that it's going to be a get because he's going to die first, and then you're right, then it's going to come out that there was a moment when he was still alive, that she was usher to him because it turns out she was a gerusha, which was sho'achas before he dies. Maybe she's going to die first, and it's never going to be ever considered as a get. So then the question is, so then why does the Braisa say that she's forbidden right now? Why is she forbidden right now? If you're not concerned for death, then why is it different than the case of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says you're not concerned for death, so it's good. So why over here is she going to be usher right away to consume truma if you're not concerned for death? So you're saying what? Because one moment before? Who said you're ever going to have that moment? Maybe she's going to die first. And then you never had the get, which is only a moment before he dies. So Elam Abai, rather Abai says that truth is the Tana of the Braisa, definitely, as you see clearly, is Chayesh Lemesa, is concerned for death. And since any moment he might die, turns out if I'm eating right now, which is the moment before death, that really I'm a grusha and I can't eat from the truma. That's why you're also to eat right away. But loikash, it's not a difficulty from our Mishnah, which clearly holds that we're not concerned for death. And that's why she could continue eating truma even though her husband's overseas. And who knows what happened over there. Maybe he died. Because ha, Reb Meir, de Chayesh Lemesa, our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, who's not concerned for a future possibility, which in our context talks about death. And as the Gemara will bring a proof, is that he's also not concerned, let's say, in the halachas of Trumas and Maestras, of the flask that you have separated Trumas and Maestras inside of it, of bursting and having all the contents spill out. In other words, he's not concerned for future possibilities. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chayish Lamisa, the Braisa that is concerned for the deaf, is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who, as we'll see, is concerned for possibilities that are maybe we shouldn't really think that that might happen, but it's a possibility, and he's concerned for that. Just not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Dmai, or some say it's actually a Braisa that says Halikeach Yain Mebein Akutim. If someone purchases wine from amongst the Kutim, again, before their wine was forbidden, now their wine is the definitely didn't have Trumas and Maisas taken off. That's the halachic status of Kutim. But he doesn't have any vessels to take off the necessary Trumas and Maisas and put them in it. But he has to drink right now. So Oyma, he says, and he does as follows. He says, Shnei Lugin Shani Asal Lahafresh, two Lugin of these 100 Lugin of wine inside of here that I'm going to separate for Truma, because 2 out of 100 is 1/50th, which is the medium amount of Truma that's taken off. Harehin Truma. He says, inside over here somewhere, 2 out of the 100 is Truma, swimming around in this wine. Asara, my Sarishin, 1/10th of it is the first type that I have to separate, also swimming around in here. Tisha, my Sarsheni, 9 Lugin of it, which is the third thing. First he separates Truma, which inside, my Sarishin, which is inside. Then a second type, which is 9 of them, because once the first type is taken off, you're left from 100 to 90. Now, a 10th of that is 9. That'll be the second type. Umechel, then he deconsecrates that onto money that's in his house, so that Meister Chain is not in there, because if you could do the ideal of not having it mixed in, you do that ideal, which you could only do by Meister Chaini. V'sheisimiyad, and then he could drink the wine right away. Divremeir, that's the opinion of Remeir, and then later on when he finishes drinking and he comes across a cup or a bowl or something to separate, then he separates 2 lugin for Truma and 10 lugin for the Meister Rishon. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Shimon, Oistrin, they say that it's forbidden. And the reason being is because, as we said, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we are concerned that maybe the flask is going to burst. If the flask ends up bursting, that means it turns out that you drank Tevel. Because even if you'll say retroactively that it'll be clarified when you separate the Truma, that this was the Truma and this was the Maaser Rishon, but if the flask burst, you never had a chance to even do that Breira of retroactive clarification. And turns out you drank Tevel, therefore they say you're not allowed to do this procedure that Remeir said. So obviously Remeir is not concerned for things like death or the flask bursting, and Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, and therefore says the Gemara, there's no difficulty. Our mission is going like Remeir, that's not concerned for death, not concerned for the flask bursting, and the Brice is going like Rabbi Yehuda. That's one approach. Rava Amma, he says, as we continue on Tamid Beis, he says, Shema Meis Loi Chashinan. Our Mishnah, that to maybe he's going to die, that we're not concerned, because as the halacha of our Mishnah was saying regarding all the three different cases, we go based on chazaka. The presumptive state was that we knew that he was alive, so we assume that he's still alive. So too when the kohen goes overseas, since he didn't divorce her, she's not forbidden unless if he dies, we have no reason to assume that he died. However, Shema Yamois, meaning, but regarding the case of the Braisa, where he gives her a get, and the condition in the get was that it'll take effect one moment before he dies. Oh, for Shema Yamos, for maybe he's going to die right away, that definitely Cheshinan, that way we are concerned. And the reason being is because that's not going to, for a Yiddish word called Chepa, that's not going to interfere with the Chazaka. Again, the Chazaka is the definition of the current moment right now. What do we assume the status is? Well, we assume it was what it was up until now. For the future, we don't know what's going to be. So therefore, for the Mishnah's halacha, Shema Meis, right now, what's the halacha status? Could you eat Truma? Well, there's no reason to assume right now that the husband died. So good, based on Chazaka, if you knew up until now, meaning when he left, he was alive, so you assume he's still alive. The case of the Braisa is thinking about what the future is going to be like. Meaning, if he dies in an hour from now, whatever Shah is, that means right now is Aser because I'm a Grusha, because I get divorced a Shah before he dies. Do you know he's not going to die an hour from now? We don't know. That's not interfering with the Chazaka. Everyone at one point is going to die. Right now you could say that he didn't die based on the Chazaka. What's going to happen an hour from now? We don't know. And therefore, that's what Rebbe says. That's the fundamental difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Braisa is talking about essentially what's going to happen, which will then retroactively clarify what's happening right now. So you can't eat. Because, yeah, maybe in the future, that has nothing to do with Chazaka, he will die. And then you're a Grusha right now. But regarding the Mishnah, right now, we have no reason to assume that he's dead, and that's why you could continue eating Truma. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Adar bar Masna L'Rav, he asks on this interpretation of Rava, that according to your interpretation, that you want to say that there's no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and that you want to say your explanation according to all opinions, but regarding the Braisa that we just introduced, regarding the flask, where there are those who say that it's forbidden to drink the wine right now, like the procedure a mayor had proposed, where that's a case of maybe he will die. In other words, it's something towards the future. We're not talking about right now. The flask, obviously, right now didn't burst. So we can go ahead and do that procedure of a mayor. But it's talking about a case of the future, upligi, and there is a machlekes, meaning Remeir argues and he says that we're not concerned. You seemingly wanted to say, Mishnah Brisa, no one disagrees, I'll resolve it. Right now, the status right now, we go with Chazaka. Future tense, I don't know what's going to happen. You can't go based on Chazaka. But as Rav Ada bar Masna, we see clearly that there is an opinion, there's that of Remeir, who actually even in the future holds Leichashina, and that he goes based on the Chazaka, because he's saying that the flask bursting in the future, where it's the same as someone dying in the future, which of course it could happen, and we have no Chazaka that's telling us that's not going to happen. He's not concerned for that. So how are you saying that it's everyone that would agree to your interpretation when seemingly that there is a disagreement on this? Regarding Shema Yamos, seemingly this Brisa can't be going according to a mayor. So Amr Rabbi Huda Mediskarta, he says, no, it's not a difficulty. Shani Noid, the case of the flask is different. In other words, your mayor could say that although, let's say, like Rubber wants to propose, that regarding the future, everyone would say that we are concerned for a possibility, because there's no Chazaka telling us that he's not going to die. Maybe that he's not dead right now, there is a Chazaka, but not for the future. So why by the flask does he say you could do this? How do you know? Maybe the flask is going to burst. You should be concerned for that. So now he says that no, the Efshe de Mosid Leila Shemer. Because Remeir says here it's different. By death, there's no way of preventing that. And therefore, there's no Chazaka telling us he's not going to die. But by the flask, you can give the flask over to a watchman to safeguard it. And therefore, even there, there's no reason for us to assume that that it's going to burst, because you could have someone protecting it. Now, Maskevelo Rav Mesharshe, asks on this answer of Yehudim Deskarta. He says, what are you talking about? Arvich, Arvitzarach. Your guarantor needs himself a guarantee. In other words, what you're saying that there's no reason to suspect, like death, that it might happen, and therefore you have to suspect it. Same thing for the flask, because, oh no, the flask, you could give it to someone else to watch. And who said that his watching is going to help? Maybe the watchman's going to be negligent himself, and then it's going to burst. And then you're back to the problem about that you, it turns out you drank Tevel Mafreya. So Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava's answers, and he really concedes, and he says, you're right. Amending his answer, he says, Shemameis Loichashinan. To suspect that the person's dead right now, there's no reason to suspect that, because you have a Chazaka that's telling you the current status right now. And hence, what Rabbi was saying was that our Mishnah could go according to everybody. Shema Yamus, regarding the Braisa that was introduced regarding that is he going to die, that was the case of where he says that it'll be a get Sha'achas Koyde Misasi, a Shah before I die, then you could set a divorce. That's Tanoihi. That is a Machlekes Tanoim, because as we illustrated, that's a machlekes Remeir and his chaverim regarding even for the future. Even there, do you say that the Chazaka says that it's not going to happen, which is what Remeir holds? We have no reason to assume, because the Chazaka even tells us into the future, because we go based on what we know, even for the future. Whereas the other Chacham disagreed and they said, Shema Yamus, regarding the future, there is no Chazaka, and then we are Chashinah for death and for Bekiyas Hanoid, and therefore that is a machlekes Tanoim. But our Mishnah could go according to everybody. Now the Mishnah said the third case of based on the Chazaka was Hashelech Hatosim Medina Siyam Mechulu. If someone sends his Karmachatas from overseas, then we said you could sacrifice it in the Beis Hamikdash with the Chazaka that he's still alive, and not that if he's dead that you would have to then have the animal die. Now the Gemara asks a technical question on this, but V'habi'in and Smicha. Problem is, okay, so he's still alive, so the Chatas doesn't have to die, but the one who sinned has to lean on the animal, like it's taught in the Brice and Teres Kayanim. It says, Yadoi, he has to lean his hand, and not the hand of his son, or the hand of his agent. He himself has to do smicha. So, okay, so he's still alive, but how does it help to send it? He has to do smicha. So, Amr Yisiv b'korban nashim. Yisiv says, not a difficulty. He's talking about a korban of a woman, where a woman sinned inadvertently by a sin that is liable for karas, where that's the type of korban that you have to bring a chatas for, and she sends it. Because as is taught in Masechet Kedushin of Lamed Vav Med Aleph, in the Braisa regarding the halacha of smicha, it says in the pasuk, Daba el b'nei Yisrael. speak to the Jewish people, v'samach, and that they should lean and do the leaning on the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash before it's sacrificed. Which the drasha is, B'nei Yisrael, the Jewish men, they do smicha, but the B'nei Yisrael, the Jewish women, don't do smicha, and that's why it's talking about a Jewish woman who sent her karmachatas, where the chazaka is that she's all still alive and there's no need for smicha. Or a papa, he gives an alternate answer, he says, B'chata sa'if. It's a karmachatas, but it's a type of chatas that's a bird chatas, which certain sins require a chatas sa'if, and there's no smicha by a bird carbon, there's only by animal karbanas. Now the Gemara says, Utsvicha. We needed to list in the Mishnah all three halachas that tell us that we retain the chazaka that the person is still alive. Because seemingly they're all saying the same halacha. Why do we need three cases for? So the Gemara explains as follows. The Yashminon get, had we only said the first case in the Mishnah where an elderly man or whoever was sent a get to his wife, where there we said you could give it because with the chazaka that he's still alive. That's Mishum Delay Efsha, as we mentioned this svar before, because it's not possible. We have to rely on chazakas for sending the get, because if you don't, then you're never going to be able to send get, and then the woman is going to remain a guna, because till the husband comes down, he's not going to be interested in coming down. So okay, since there's no real other feasible way, so we go based on the chazaka. Avot Truma de Efsher Eim Aloy, but regarding Truma, where it's possible, like, why should we go based on Chazaka that when her husband goes overseas, that she continue eating Truma? Maybe he's dead. That's an Issa Dairaisa, that's Kars, that's, it's, you know, it's a big sin. She could eat other things. Maybe we shouldn't go based on Chazaka. So that's why we have to tell you that even over there we go based on the Chazaka. Now, V'yashmin and Truma, had we only said the second case in the Mishnah regarding Truma, the Zimnin Delay Efsher, where there sometimes it is not possible, just like the case of Gittin, because she might be poor and she needs to be provided for. Now, a truma at least she can get for free, which is what kahanim get when they go to the granary where they give out to the kahanim their trumas. But a regular poor person won't necessarily get their needs. Now, so maybe by truma that's why we go based on the chazaka. Avachatas ha'oiv, but when the karma chatas is being sent, where misveka lo leil chun lazara, there out of doubt, why should we bring a possible chulin to the azar, which is navera? Maybe we should require the person to have to come down themselves. How do we know that the person is still alive? Tzricha, that's why we needed to tell you that in all cases, even by the case of someone sending karmachatas, we're not concerned that the person died, because we go based on the chazaka. They're all based on the same halachic principle of a chazaka. But again, we needed each one because we would have thought that each one, for a different reason, we wouldn't rely on the chazaka. That's what the Mishnah tells us, that no, chazaka tells us the person is still alive, and therefore the halacha is valid. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme about chazakas, about the presumptive state that something is in that we knew it was up until now. As the Mishnah says, Shleisha Dvarim Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Parta Lefnei Chacham. There were three halachas that Rebbe Elazar ben Parta said in front of the sages. V'kaimres Dvarav. And they fulfilled his words that is halachically valid. Which one of these? Al-ir shehekifa charka. Regarding a city that was besieged, it's surrounded by people, by an army. Or va'ala svina hamu terefes bayam. Regarding a boat, a ship, that's in danger of sinking in the sea, but it didn't sink yet. Or va'ala yitze lidun. Regarding someone that's going out for a court case of capital punishment, shehein becheskes kayam. And he said regarding these three areas that the halacha is their presumptive state is that they're still alive, although they're all in troubling situations. But it's we still until we know otherwise, we assume the person is still alive. Avol, but take it one notch higher, things change. Irshakov shacharkav, regarding a city that was besieged that was already conquered, not just surrounded, or v'svina sh'avd bayam. The boat is not just tumultuous, but it's actually lost. It's already sinking, already sank. Or v'hayotzi laharig, he's not just going out to the court case, he's actually being taken out to be executed. Then, noisna lein chomri chayim v'chomri mesen. Then already, we place upon that person the stringencies of as if he was alive, and the stringencies as if he was dead. As the Mishnah explains, when you have a bas yisrael a kohen, when you have a daughter of a non-kohen married to a kohen, then we give it the stringencies as if he's dead. If he's dead, she can't continue eating truma. Or a bas kohen li Yisrael, when you have the daughter of a kohen who's married to a Yisrael, a non-kohen, as long as she's married to him, she cannot eat truma. When he's dead, if she doesn't have any children from him, she could go back to her father's household and continue eating truma. He would give him the stringencies that he's still alive, and therefore in both these cases, lo teicha b'truma, she cannot eat from the truma, which in this last case is she cannot eat from the truma of her father. Again, because in the situation where he's going out to be killed, we don't know, did they kill him or did they not? So we give him the stringency either way, and no matter which one it is, we'll give him either chur mechaim or chur mechaim, and the woman will not be able to eat truma. Now, Amar Rav Yosef qualifies this last halacha of the three different cases that the Mishnah said. He says, Loi shanu, we didn't learn this if someone's being taken out to be executed, that we give him the stringencies not just of being dead, which is the one that we would assume, but even the stringency that he's still alive, that which would be a problem if it's a Bas Kohen that's married to a Yisrael, Elu bebezdin shel Yisrael. That, explains Rav Yosef, is only if it's in a Jewish court. Because after the Gemar Din, after the verdict was already sentenced, and they're taking out to execute him, sometimes they'll find a merit. They'll find someone come running and say, oh, I have evidence that could exonerate him. Then they'll actually go back and do over the court case again, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Sanhedrin, daf mem beis amud beis, where the horses run after him and they stop him from being executed, and they bring him back to court. There, even though he's being taken out to be executed, that's what the Mishnah is going on by Bezdin Shal Yisrael. Maybe he wasn't killed at the end, so you have to go Becheskes Chaim. Av Bebezdin Shal Yisrael, but says Rabbi Yosef, if it's a non-Jewish court, Kivin the Gomer Leidini Liktala, once the verdict was already sentenced that he's going to be executed, Mikto Katle, they're definitely going to kill him. We consider him as definite dead, and we don't give him, as the Mishnah said, a possible Chazaka as a Suffolk that he's still alive. And therefore, if you have a Bas Kohen that's married to Yisrael in that situation, she'd be able to go ahead and eat Truma. Now, on this interpretation of Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara asks Amalei Abaye. Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, Bezin Shalevit Kechav Nami, what do you mean, even by a non-Jewish court, the Mekabli Sheikhada, they take Sheikha, they take bribery. So even though he was being sentenced to death and they're taking him out to kill him, maybe that someone will be able to bribe him and he'll be able to go free. So why don't we give the at least the Suffolk that he's still alive? So Amalei, Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, he says, no. Ki shakli, when do they take sheichad, bribes? That's mikmei delachtem pursi shenomag, which is a Persian term meaning for the psak adin. That's only until the verdict was sentenced. Labasa demichtem pursi shenomag loy shakli. Says it's already too late. Once they take him out to kill him, the verdict was already passed, then they don't take bribes anymore, and therefore, in the case of a non-Jewish court, he's definitely dead. Now, meisve, however, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yosef's interpretation from the following brisa. Where the beginning of this brisa, as it's mentioned in the first perek of Masechtas Makos, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, talks about someone that had a court case with capital punishment, and they concluded that he has to be killed, and he flees, and he's on the run. So the brisa tells us, Kol Mokum Shiyem Adenu Shnayim B'Yomru, any place where if two people will stand this person in court and say, they catch him and they bring him to court, they say, Me'idin Anu Is Ishplaini, we testify regarding this man, that actually his court case was sentenced to death in that court case, and we could even tell you who were his two witnesses that testified that he's liable for the death penalty. So the Brisa says, Harezi Yaharik. So they go ahead and they execute this person. Now, the Gemara's question is, obviously, that we don't say that maybe a merit was found for him even in a Jewish court after that. Because if possibly they found some merit, how can we, if we find this guy somewhere else, and two people come and say, we know that he was prosecuted, and the verdict was that he should die, who cares? But maybe they decided afterwards that there's a schus to save him. Obviously that we see that that's not a common thing, and we're not in doubt for that. So how does Rabbi Yosef say in our Mishnah that the reason why we give him a chumra of chaim and mason, meaning that maybe he's still alive, is because it's a Jewish court, and by Jewish courts, they might overturn it even after the verdict was already sentenced that he should die. If that's the case, so why does the Brisa say that when they say that we know his verdict was passed over there, they could execute him over here, but maybe they changed their mind? Obviously, we're not concerned for them changing their mind, and therefore you could totally execute him. So therefore, the halacha of the Mishnah should also be not a suffix of chaim. That the Gemara answers, Dilma b'reich shani. Maybe, you're right, like our Mishnah says, as Rav Yosef explained, that we are concerned that maybe that they overturned his verdict. But when the guy flees, he's a fugitive, there's no reason to assume that they turned over his verdict. There it's very likely that this guy was totally a dead man and he ran away. That's why over there they could go ahead and execute him somewhere else. But in a regular case where a guy's being taken out to be killed, maybe it was overturned, and that's why we have to be mesupik. We have to still be in doubt, as our Mishnah says, by a Jewish court, that maybe they went and overturned it, and someone else came at the last second before he's about to execute it, and he survived and they didn't kill him. So Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Shama mi bezen shel Yisrael. Let's say someone overheard, he heard from a Jewish court, Shahoyu Eimim, that they said, Ish pleini meis. This guy died. Now, we do have a guy dying without being executed. Sometimes there could be, in a Jewish court, that someone would die by his own. And that would be in the case where if someone did a sin and he got lashes, and he did the sin again, so in the court, instead of giving him lashes and lashes and lashes, what they do is they put him into a closed room and the guy dies by himself. So if he overhears from a Jewish court that this person died, or ish pleni nerek, or this person was killed, meaning with one of the four types of mises bezdin, that they execute a sinner, so the halacha is yesiyus ishtei. They can marry off that person's wife, meaning this person is believed to say that he heard from the court that they said that this guy was already killed or he died, and therefore the woman is an amona, and she's not an agun, she should go ahead and marry someone else. However, mikuman terisin shel evdei kechavim. But if he heard from the non-Jewish executioner, who he's appointed to kill people, that he said, ish pleini meis, this person died. Again, what do you have by non-Jewish courts that a person dies by his own? That's like as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah and Yoreh Mebeis, that this happened by Ketiyah or Bar Shalem, where what they would do is that they would fill in the house, a room halfway up full with earth, and they would bury the guy in over there, and he would die by himself. So let's say the executioner says that this guy died, or ish pleini nerek, or we in our non-Jewish courts, we executed this guy. So the halacha is al yasu es ishtei. They're not allowed to go ahead and now, based on the testimony of the non-Jewish executioner, marry off this man's wife to someone else. Now the Gemara explains the question. My mesu, my nerek. When this Bryce is discussing that either by the Jewish courts or by the non-Jewish courts, that they said this guy died or that he was killed, what does it mean died or killed? As the Gemara explains, Ilema meis, meis mamish, if you're going to interpret that when they said that he died, it means he literally died. And the nereg means nereg mamish, it means that he was literally killed. And that's whereby you're saying by the Jewish courts, that's why you can go ahead and marry off the wife because he's dead already. But then the kavasega by Abdi Kachavim, then the equivalent would be regarding the other case by the non-Jewish courts, by the executioner, where there you said that they cannot go ahead and marry off the wife. Amai al yasiyu asishtei. Why by the non-Jewish courts then wouldn't you be able to marry off the wife, which if her husband's dead, she can marry someone else? Hakai malon, but the halacha is, as it's brought in the last paragraph of Masechet Yevamos of Aleph Amud Beis, where the halacha is dekol, where anytime you have a non-Jew that's masiach lefi tumay, that's innocently saying over something, he's not coming to the court, he's innocently saying over, some guy's hearing the executioner saying, oh, that guy, we killed him. He mune mehemni le, that the non-Jew is believed and it's valid for the testimony of a woman to be able to get remarried. So if the non-Jewish executioner said that we killed him, so we believe him. So why, if he said that we killed him, wouldn't we believe him? Elalav, rather, explains the Gemara, must be, even by the Jewish court, meis, when either the Jewish judge or by the non-Jewish executioner, when they said that he died, it means yoytzalamas. He was being taken out to die. I mean, he was taken to that room to then die his own death. When they said nerek, he was killed, it means yoytzalaharek. He was taken out to be killed. Ukatani, and we learned, now that we understand the case, that Bebezin Yisrael, by a Jewish court, if the Jewish judge says that he was killed or that he died, which again, as we just explained, doesn't mean that he was killed or died, because if that was the case, then by the non-Jewish, it should also work. Rather, he was saying, oh, he was taken to die. He was taken to be killed. And still the Braisa says, yes, siyus ishtoi, they could marry off his wife. That's difficult according to Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef explained the halacha of our Mishnah by a Jewish court, that by a Jewish court, when he's taken out to be killed, that there's no chazaka that he's dead. You have to still suspect that maybe he was overturned and that he's still alive. So why does the Braisa over here say that you could go ahead and marry off his wife? Maybe he is still alive. Obviously, that refutes Rav Yosef, where even if he's being taken out to be killed, even by a Jewish court, we assume that he is dead and not that maybe he's still alive. So the Gemara answer is no. The interpretation of the Braisa that we were asking from is incorrect. La'olam meis mamish v'nerig mamish. Truth is that when do we believe the Jewish judge that we can marry off the wife? Is only if he says he died, not taken out to be died. He died, benerig mamish, and he was killed. Then, of course, we believe the Jewish judge, and they can marry off the wife. Now this that you had asked and you said, oh, then the equivalent should be by the non-Jewish courts. Amai loy, why don't we believe the executioner? But Vakaimelin, you asked, as the halacha is, that if the guy's innocently saying something, he's like, oh, this guy, oh, we killed him, that he's believed. That is what the Gemara answers. That's only regarding things which have no bias, that's not applicable to the non-Jew who's saying over the testimony, where it wouldn't be something that he would be able to boast about. But something that he has a bias to, which, like in the case that we're discussing, where he's boasting, oh yeah, this guy, we killed him in our courts. Avdi l'achzuki shikrayu. Actually, over there, that they tend to actually lie and bend the truth, and to say, oh, that we killed him, even though actually he didn't even see him being killed, he just saw him being taken out to be judged in the capital case. That is why we actually don't believe him, even in the case of where he says that I saw him die, or he was killed, because maybe he actually didn't see him die. Maybe he just knew about that he was being taken into court and the other executioner was supposed to do his job, and maybe he didn't die. That's why we don't go ahead and believe him. And therefore, there's no difficulty on Rav Yosef. Maybe the halacha is like Rav Yosef, is an interpretation of the Mishnah, where by Jewish courts, that's where we have to suspect that maybe the court case was overturned. Now, in this brisa, we're talking about what the Jewish judge says, that he was killed. If he was killed, of course, we're not doubting the Jewish court, and the guy who heard this could go ahead and tell the wife, and she could get remarried. But by the non-Jewish courts, even if the executioner says, Masich lefi tumoy, that he was killed, he's still not believed, because it's something that's pertaining to him, and there we don't say the halacha of Masich lefi tumoy, because there is a bias there, because there's something that he could boast about, that they had him killed, and that's why he's not believed.